as the heavens are above the earth, so God is above us. And I just love that song. He has no rival. He has no equal. And his kingdom, and I love the part in the verse where it says, what a powerful name it is, Jesus Christ, our King. And I just want you to think a moment before we move on about what that means, that Christ is the King. You know, in our society, in our culture, it's hard for us to imagine a king. But he is the King that is so far above everyone else. There's no one that compares at all. And I think of Macumbi, and you've heard me say before, I know there are a lot of people that God has done amazing things through. But I've known two of them personally. And one of them is Greg, with what he has done in putting discipleship and training pastors throughout Central and South America, and now moving and partnering with Macumbi, who I'm going to tell you a little of his story before he comes up, because he won't tell it and brag on himself like I will. But when I think of those two men, and I think of Macumbi, who started off it really in what we would say pretty humble circumstances, and yet the eyes of the Lord searched to and fro throughout the earth in order to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is completely his. And I remember the first time Greg came to our church, and when he was there, does this help? When he was here and we were worshiping, he was sitting over there by me, and he just couldn't even come up here at first because he was so overwhelmed, tears coming, just because he walked in here and he just felt the Spirit of God, and he knows what a King God is, and he knows, and he is dedicated to doing whatever he says. And Macumbi, like we were singing that song, and we were singing that song, and Macumbi yells, "Yes," when we get to that part about his kingdom. And it's that same heart that recognizes that. And some of you have been here and know Macumbi, some of you don't, so I'm going to give you just a little short history. Macumbi was not born into a Christian family. He was born into a family of witch doctors. His father passed away before he was fully trained. He went to be trained with his grandfather, who also passed away. And I'm not saying that Macumbi wasn't a good witch doctor, but I'm glad you weren't a good witch doctor. In Africa, that can be a pretty lucrative profession, but it was not for Macumbi. And he was struggling to provide a living for his family. And a friend of his said, "Hey, there's this missionary over here, I want you to come see." And he didn't go over there to hear about the gospel. He went over there because he was hoping he could get some food or some financial help. But you got the gospel. And it changed his life and it changed his heart. And he saw Christ as his King and wanted to serve him however he was called. And so he ended up going to a Bible school. And at that Bible school, one of the things that I find so interesting about him is that after the classes in the evening, he would go down to the river and he would spend an hour just in prayer every day. And one of his people that was in the Bible school with him came and asked him. He said he just noticed something different about him. He wanted to know why he was able to get all this stuff like he was. And he said, "Well, come on down to me to the river." And that guy became a good friend who's still a great missionary or a minister with you. And he started off, and he believed that God wanted him to do this, so he taught himself how to read English so he could go to the Bible school. And then he got there and he felt like he was called to be a missionary in the Muslim community, which there's a big Muslim community in the area in which he lives. And so he taught himself how to read Arabic. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds hard to me. But he learned how to do that so he could read the Quran, so when he talked with them, he knew what they were talking about. Actually, he knew the Quran a lot better than they did. And so he ministered for years and years with five people, him, his wife, and three cousins. I think they're related to your wife, not you, right? Yeah, that's right. So I believe he's the only man that was in the group, right? Yes, and so, and they had a tough time in this community, and they weren't leading anyone to Christ, and they just plodded along, and after years and years, they won a few people to Christ, and they had 10 people. And then they started growing a little bit, and they moved out of their house. They moved under a tree. And then they moved to be able to make a building, and it's amazing. I will show you some pictures of what his ministry is like right now. This is a picture of Dave and I in McCombie's office. This is not where you started off. As a matter of fact, my guess is that when you start off, you never imagined that God would give you the church or the ministry that you have. But God has done some tremendous things. One of the things that they did is that, you know, Matthew 4:19 says, Jesus called the disciples. He said, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." Well, that's the ultimate goal God has for all of his children, to be made and molded into the image of Christ so that their presence in the world attracts people to Christ, and their job is to be able to share how to find a relationship with Christ. That's what they major on. And so he's got a group of people from the start that shared their faith in the community. And he taught them, and they led more and more people to Christ. And one of the things that they noticed as they started, and I'm going to back up because they started this before they were as big as they are right now. But when they started this, they realized that when Muslims convert to Christianity, they are no longer welcome in the family. As a matter of fact, sometimes he was here one time where he talked about how in the building right next to them, the house right next to them, they were preaching, and of course this girl that was in there, teenage girl, was listening, and she gave her heart to Christ, and they started hearing these moanings over there because her father had beaten her to where she couldn't get up, and she was laying there, and they rescued her out. But they had a lot of people coming to Christ who had no source of income, and a lot of women who came to Christ. And so this is the first thing that they did was they started a chicken farm, but they incorporate not just giving spiritual, but they also give financial help as far as helping them learn how to become a part of something where they can make it in the world. And it is a very, as many of you know, 80, 85, 90% unemployment. It is a very, very needy area, and most people live in things that are much different than us, and they provide needs, help people learn how to be successful in providing for their families, and it's an amazing ministry to reach out. That's his church now. That came from your house and five people. But that's not where it ends, and this was not the goal of what he was doing. Jonathan, who is on a trip with his son right now, went to Jinga. Actually, Dave and I were with him when we went there, and John, and we saw this refugee camp that was there. They came back and told, now this is what, 3.5, 4 hours, Dave, how far? Yeah, a long way off. Jonathan's Sunday school class still interacts with this group over the internet, but as soon as he reported to Victory Living Word Church that they were in need over there, this is what they brought. They went there and helped sustain him through a tough time, and are helping him with that ministry, and their reach is beyond just the little place that they live in. This is the first project that he had, chickens, so that they could start to make a living. Then they went on and realized, well, we've got more and more people. We got to have more and more way to take care and to give a way to feed and to give them places to work. This is the fish pond project that they have. I've got one fish pond right there, but there are many that are across there. They raise fish to be able to sell them. I just put this picture up because I love that cow coming out of that empty building. So that really has nothing to do with what we're doing. They also, you see these trees by here, this was their first eucalyptus project, and they used these eucalyptus trunks, so these eucalyptus trees, for everything you can imagine there. You see them being carried on motorcycles all the time for different projects and stuff. They also now have a grove that they have planted that is, I think last time we were there, they were ready for harvest, so you've probably already started to harvest them, and it's a pretty extensive grove in here, but they've always got some kind of project going. Some of them are to help provide, and some of them are to help provide spiritual things. He had this idea when we first went down there years and years ago, they had started this building, which was going to be an orphanage and a school for the community. Today, the school exists. It's the Wells of Joy Nursery and Primary School. Today's school with their students, they've got a bunch of students there. They've got the dormitories. Many of you were a part of helping to get things in that dormitory. Here's some of the kids right here that are there. Here's the school supplies. One year we sent those over, and I know that they're getting from all kinds of different places, but we were a little part of it. The classrooms, when they started putting those classrooms together, here's one of the classrooms for the older kids. Here's one of the new classrooms that's there for the younger kids. They still, I believe, sit on the floor as they're taught. Here is the school kitchen, and here they are preparing the food for now 350 kids, except for they have been able, the last trip we took, they now have a new building that they've built there, and so rather than having to cook inside or outside, especially during the rainy season, which is difficult, now they have their kitchen inside. Here's some of the kids who are eating. I don't know if you can see their plates from there or not. In that big activity room, which also is a cafeteria. Here's the lady who is kind of over the school right there. And so they build rooms, they build things for expecting them to fill up with people that they have led to the Lord. This is the well at the orphanage school. They have added new water sources. They catch water. They have underground storage of water, and here they are teaching their kids to pray and give thanks to God for the things they've got. So I just wanted you to kind of just get a little scope that when Makumbi comes in here, his ministry reaches throughout Uganda. And it started from one guy in a room in a house. It's amazing what God has done in your life, and so we want you to come share a little bit about what's happening. So let's welcome back Makumbi. Love you, brother. And that school outreach, let me back up this one right here. We do, as Philippians 2:29 says, we want to welcome you with Christian love and great joy, and great giving that honor to people like you who deserve. One of the things that I usually mention, most everybody who has been here and seen Makumbi before, the first time he came here, his wife didn't come with him because they had rolled a hand grenade down through the small church at that time that they had, and it had gone off and it had injured your wife and had killed a child over there. So this is a person who is in a... He is serving where God wants him to be without fear of what the community wants. And over time, that community that was very hostile now wants your church there. Amen. Yes. So the school has grown from 250 to 350 kids, and it's now been seen as the church's an official school registered for the church. Tell us about your school.
Thank you, Pastor. Once again, good morning, church. It's always my, you know, pleasure to be here. This is my family church. And thank you for allowing me to be a friend and to partner with us back in Africa. I remember the first time, like Pastor Bill shared with you, when I came over, my way of communication was not as good as today, and But I thank God that these guys were able to put, you know, my words together to know or to understand what really I meant. And I thank his friend, his name is Jim Hammond, the former
chef.
He helped me a lot to put my English together. Now I can communicate. Briefly, we started this school as, you know, as an instrument to reach our country, or especially Muslims, for Christ. And guys, it has worked out well. And I thank you. It's not me doing this, no. If I could share with you what I was able to do before God brought you on our way, was so tiny. Okay, we could share the gospel, we could pray for our people and for ourselves alone, you know, but what we are doing, we could not do it without you. So thank you so much for standing with us. This school started from almost from scratches. We started it within the church. That was, we started a program of helping the kids who were staying with their families, and you know, maybe their parents died and they are staying with their relatives who could not support their education. So we thought it wise if we could reach these people, the people, you know, these kids, the people, their families will start experiencing the touch or the love of Christ. So we started with two. Then the following year we added on three. Then it exploded to hundreds, and that's where the school started. So we bought the property. You remember when I came over here, we are looking for, you know, where I was raising money for the land where to build the school. And already I had, you know, I had found the land. It was, by then it was around 100 acres. Today it's 271 acres total. And then it was around, I think it was in winter. That time I delayed to go back. So I came over, and there was, to my surprise, you know, when I shared with the church, then we were standing, I think you remember this, we were standing right there, and here is a couple. Their names, Mr. Corey Brown and his wife Linda. So they approached me and said, I was standing with Pastor B and said, how much money are you looking for? I said, $45,000. So he said, if you can raise at least some, we'll match the rest. So, and I was able to raise, I raised $5,000. Then he said, I'll give you the $40,000. So he sent that check to this church, and that's how we bought that property.
Mm-hmm. And let me just put in there too, because this is a long, long thing. They started this maybe a decade ago.
Yeah.
And actually started raising the money to buy it much more than that. That man was a one-time visitor who came.
Yeah.
He came that service and was never in this church again, but sent the check.
Yeah, so, this was their first, him and his wife, their first time. And I can't remember exactly what the other words, because my way of communication and even understanding English was this big. So
now let me just put this into Makumbi came over here because he felt like God had called him to come to America. He didn't even know where Chattanooga was. Why in the world he ended up on a plane that took him to Chattanooga, I have no idea. But he got off that plane with nowhere to go, ran into Jim Hammond, who through my dad met Mike McGinnis, and this is the first place, this is the church he came to. Mm-hmm. And we were really up until maybe your association with TBI, we were the only church really supporting you for almost 25-30 years.
And almost three quarters of what we have achieved today, ministry wise, you know, all together, is done by this church. Like that property, you know, a lot. So we started making our own bricks, like we did with it, you know, and we started the construction. And today, wow, God is a good God. So now our school is registered with the Ministry of Education. We have a license. You know, all this was done 2 years ago. I think we did it 2 years ago, you know, after TPI, you know, after your visit. So our school is registered with the ministry. We have a seating center. This is now our kids, they can sit their final exams within our school. And, you know, so we are so happy for what God is doing through you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And he goes, those of you here know how far throughout Uganda his ministry goes. It's not just in Kawempe. But several years ago, we introduced him. That's Greg with the white beard. And there's Makumbi. And there's just a few things of classes and other things that have come up in Uganda. But we started the TPI training because up until that time, he had already sent out 190 some people that he had led to Christ in his church, noticed that they had a fervor and a gift for sharing Christ, had equipped them, gave them a motorcycle, which is a boda boda there, which is a taxi, so that they could make a living, and sent them out in different places throughout Uganda, and had planted churches. And then, like, our church went to do a couple of medical missions to, they have a group of believers there, and now all of a sudden we come in and attract a bunch of people so that the church can grow. So he's already doing what TPI was doing, and so they had this group of people right here that came in who could speak English, that we wanted to help train them so that they would be better equipped in Bible knowledge, and here they are graduating. And what I wanted to show you from this picture is, I'll show you this right here first. Many of you prayed for Simeon and Jimmy. They graduated in that group. Simeon is the one that they couldn't have children, and we prayed, and they have two now. Mm-hmm. But they had one 9 months after we prayed. And then and Jimmy is the one that lost his son in the middle of the training, and many of you prayed for him. And they're doing very well, and he's doing, he's planning churches and crusades where he's at. That's Makumbi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's you. So he went through this training with everybody. And I wanted you also to kind of understand the outreach that he does. It's through his family also. There's his son, Robert, who will be in doing the training with, he'll be a trainer now with Dave. There's Billington, who is really kind of like your associate pastor in the church. Mm-hmm. And there's Joseph right there. And that should say Edward right there. Edward and Dennis are your adopted sons.
Edward is my adopted son. Brian also right at the back is my adopted son. Dennis is my son-in-law.
Okay, well, in other words, he's got 25 adopted children, and three of them are now trained to be missionary pastors, and one of them is his son-in-law, Dennis. I got that one right?
Yep.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a little easier to see their faces on that picture than it is on the one I was working with. At any rate, I wanted you to see that it has to do with his family. And this is the team that went last time. This is the team that's going over there. As you know, John just had major surgery. And these two and Jonathan are the ones who will be doing the training. This is the first time in Africa that they have had native Africans be able to be the teachers as they go through, which was the goal when we started. I ask you, go ahead.
This TPI, you know, of course, I know how to reach out. I started with my family. All my boys are born again. But they were not on fire until TPI stepped in. If TPI has done something in Africa, I think I would say I have benefited the most, because guys, to see your children sold out to God, that is, for me, that's enough. Even if I don't get even a single coin, as long as my children are established in Him, that makes, you know, me satisfied. So, Robert, that young man is hungry for God. Even he counsels me. Can you imagine? Billington, wow. I remember Billington came to me and said, "Dad, if there is anything I want to do before I go home, I want to serve God." I said, "Wow," inside of me, because I didn't want to kill him. I said, "Wow, God, you are so good." Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for sending TPI. I've benefited a lot. My children, my girls, they are so deep in God. In other words, the entire group, you know, because I have a lot of spiritual sons in this group which just graduated. So I thank God for TPI.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you could say everybody in there is in some way a spiritual son of yours. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to interject this as he went in there, because, you know, TPI comes and it brings a broad understanding of the Bible, so you've got a big picture of it. But the key really that made the difference was when we started off and we helped them understand how to read the Bible.
Yes.
That the Bible was not written to be able to prepare sermons to give. It was not written so that you had data or information that you understood that you could share in a Bible study. But the Bible was written in a way that the Holy Spirit can take what words you're reading and they can become the words of God speaking to you through the Holy Spirit about your life, even though it was written about somebody else. And reading that and opening up and starting to see that that God wants to speak to me. He wants to guide me. He wants to help me in the decisions and choices that I'm making. And it opened their eyes to some things, like one of the things was that they weren't sharing Christ with their wives. They weren't discipling their wives. Yeah. And so it started in their families and moved on. But it's just a great group of people. Last time you were here, I asked you, what's your vision in bringing the good news and the truth and the love of Jesus Christ in Uganda? Because one thing is for sure, your people do that.
Yes.
And they've done that from the first time that we went there. And I asked you, how does that vision include equipping your people to fulfill their calling as ambassadors for Christ? And really, what TPI has done is helped you take a broader vision and step.
Yes.
So it's not like all of a sudden now you're reaching out. You guys have been reaching out, you know, in a great way. But tell us how you guys are now incorporating the TPI view of growing in Christ, discipling others, and evangelizing, and this new phase that you're about to start in July. Just kind of explain to them what your church is doing.
Okay, reaching out to the lost, that is so easy. You know, just sharing Christ, the love of God, and that is easy. But when you bring these people to Christ, what next? That's where what matters, and that's where we had a lot of missing links. But after the training, now we know how to guide these people, how to teach them the gospel. We preached the gospel and they came to Christ, but then teaching them the gospel, that's now we are, you know, after the training, we are well equipped. We have materials which we can use to, you know, to establish these new converts or new believers to Christ, you know, into Christ. There's a scripture, it's in Galatians 4:19, where Paul made this statement, "My little children, whom I travailed until Christ is formed in you." So God to be formed, or Christ to be formed into the lives of these new converts, was not something easy. But after the training, now we have a lot of materials. We have a lot. We have the outlines. We have the textbooks, you know, the textbooks. We have a lot. Now we can teach. And even when I remember in these teachings, Pastor Bill could come with the materials from here, I guess. And wow, our eyes were opened widely. So we thank God for you, for sending those people, because the Bible says, I think this is in Romans chapter 10, I think verses 13, the Bible says, "Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How will they call his name unless there is one to preach or to share to them? And how will they share or preach to them unless they are sent?" So you the senders, you are so vital in the kingdom. We who are sent, we are good, but you are very important people. And please, on that day when we line up, before our master, and you look behind and see those long lines with black faces, please don't ask, "Who are these behind me?" Remember, when you send these people, those were the results, those were the the souls. Yeah.
And it's amazing how they've taken the things that we did in the 3 years of TPI, and they put them in place. And there were of these men who graduated, 20 of them are in your area, and so each one of them has found and is discipling someone to be their partner. And in July, they're sending them out as like Paul and Timothy's to go out and look for a man of peace. In other words, they're going to go out into the community and look for someone who's a non-Christian who's interested in hearing. And they're going to ask them if they can invite their friends and family to come to a little Bible study. And they're going to start there to build the foundation of a church, which is really a lot like what you guys had done before. And then from that, they want to grow and even more churches that they plan. And just to give you an idea, they have shared their testimonies, but the difference is now they're going to share their lives for a long period of time to develop that church with more people other than the few that you have found. Well, it's not a few, but and then they'll come back in with crusades to bolster that up and draw some people in. They have 198 churches planted right now, and they're just fixing to start in July a three-year program that enables them to be able to do far more than they thought they could do. So throughout Uganda is 198 churches that have been planted that started in your living room.
Yes, sir.
And so that's a pretty amazing thing. As Makumbi has said, he is grateful for the partnership. He's grateful for you being a part of spreading that good news. You know, we don't take up offerings. We don't pressure people and tell them what to give to, but you have supported him in the past, and I know many of your hearts will be touched to support him. And so, if you want to bring your offering in for that, we will be taking it like we normally do for the next month, and then we'll send it off to him. So anything before May 25th, And if you're late, we'll probably send it to him later. Yes, Kevin.
Would you allow Makumi to talk for 2 minutes about the tractor for the school?
Yes, I will. I will do that because I was going to ask you if there's anything else that you wanted to say, but Kevin is reminding you to say something about the tractor.
Oh, okay. On this trip, and this is where when I say we, I mean me and the people in our country, in our church. We want you to pray for us on this trip. I want to get a farm tractor. This farm tractor, because now our school, like I told you, we have 271 acreage of land. That is huge. So we can be able to cultivate food which can run our school all year round, and also to have some maybe for sale. And so now we cannot do it today manually. We need something that can help us to do it, and that is the farm tractor. So now on this trip, I'm believing God for a farm tractor, and we're going to buy it from here, because buying it from Uganda, we have tractors which they sell in Uganda, but they are very poor. Imagine, there's a tractor I was looking at in Uganda. It's a Massey Ferguson. It's a 61 horsepower, not four-wheel drive. It has only two-wheel drive. It has four wheels, but how do you call that?
You said right, not
four-wheel drive. So, and it has a canopy. It's a model 1985 with, I don't know how many hours they are in, hundreds and hundreds of thousands, hours. And it has only one attachment or implement, that's the plowing discs. And it's at $67,000. Now, buying it from here is the best, because I've seen a Kubota. Kubota is far way better compared to a Massey Ferguson. This Kubota, it doesn't have a canopy. Instead, it has a cabin. It's a model 2017. It has around 3,000 hours. It has seven attachments. That the plowing discs, the tilling discs, which goes back to break the, it has a mower for the mowing for the school. It has a sower. It's sowing maize and beans. It has a picker. It can harvest corn, maize, and beans. It has a trailer where you can load on. It has a backhoe, and it has a bucket, a front bucket, which you can hold something and load. What other thing? It's great. And buying it, putting it into a container, shipping it to Kampala, not to Mombasa, our nearest port, but from Mombasa to Kampala, all together is $78,000. So if you compare the imprimis or the attachments, the model they are, this one is almost new, 3,000 hours, and it's a model 2017. Moreover, better, make, which Kubota. So this one is, compared to the other one is nothing. And anything you get from America, anything, it will last. It will last. So I'm requesting you, to stand with us in prayer so that God can provide. We need to get that tractor, because I believe by year 2027, our school will have a population of over 500 kids. So please, if you have ever prayed, we need your prayers more than we did yesterday. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Thanks a lot. And just to kind of help you to know, Macumbi recognized when he was coming here, after he first came, he recognized that they have to be able to sustain their ministry themselves. And so that's why they have all these projects that are coming. But some of those things, you know, that we can help with enable you to establish other things going.
Yes.
It's just like he's got 250 acres, but he's got to be able, if he can work it, he can do a lot with it. Thank you for sharing that.
The community people can hire it, and it becomes a source of income to the school as well.
And they have a lot of long-range projects. He came here years ago and noticed that we met in small groups and discipleship. So they started building a building to house, to start having Sunday school and things like that. We've been coming through the years. They're still working on finishing that building. So they have a, like when he says 2027, that's how they think. You know, they're adding on, they're using things as they develop, but they get things completed, then they move to the next. And so he's thinking way down the road on things. Well, Macumbi, let me pray for you. And we're grateful that you, for your sharing. Father, we just thank you so much to be able to stop and to look and see what you can do through an individual life. And we know, Lord, that you have special destinies and special missions and special purposes for individuals. And we're grateful that you've connected us with Macumbi and that tremendous work that he has done there. But we also realize, Lord, that work is only accomplished through all the foot soldiers that have been in that church that has worked with him. And that being able to let your spirit be transferred into the hearts of individuals who will stand and do their part, even though it's more plodding and it doesn't show quite as much, but it is essential, the sharing of faith and the building of your kingdom that through which you work. And so I thank you, Lord, that through all of this, he sees people, he interacts with people. He still is individually leading people to Christ. He is still a discipling. He is still working. And we're just amazed and grateful to be a part of what you're doing there. And we thank you and ask you to bless him. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate your listening and the way you've been a part of what Macumbi has done in the past. And it's great just to be a part of what God is doing. And I hope that as we look at this, each one of us will be inspired to realize that God could do more through our lives than he is doing. And if we just step out there and we just don't put any boundaries on what we're doing, God may surprise us in a lot of things. So thank you for worshiping God. Thank you for thank you for loving Macumbi, and let's give him another acknowledgement of our love for him. Well, thank you, and have a wonderful day, and thank God for what he's done.